WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a playoff week around here. We haven't had many in 28 years at home, especially. So frigid conditions out there. Make sure you're plowing the driveway accordingly and getting some hot chocolate ready. My mom probably would have had me a nice thermos of hot chocolate for a playoff game, like when the Steelers came in here back in the 70s and Croner flew into the upper deck, or the Raiders game. We may have the first AFC championship game here. We're a 10-point favorite, 3 hours away from making that happen on Saturday, since 1971. Our historian for all things Ravens will be out in Owings Mills all week long, chronicling. And if there's any breaking news, you get it first in the WNST tech service. He is Luke Jones. Luke, I called an audible last week. A little weird bye weekend, right? Sitting around watching 3 days worth of football full on after the snowstorm, bang that one game. So we had three doubleheaders over the weekend. About Wednesday, I thought to myself, all right, where am I going to watch these games? What's going on? You know, my wife and I, maybe dinner, go over to State Fair, go to one of our places and watch the game. Maybe over at Costas, which we've been guilty of doing. And then this Peacock thing happened last week, of which you follow me on the internet, Luke, even if you can't avoid me. You know, I'm not a fan of this. So, I'm not a streamer, like in a general sense, because I don't watch movies and entertainment. I'm not interesting, Luke. Ask anyone. I didn't really want to pay Peacock, and the Baltimore Sun thing. And by the way, David Smith just bought the Baltimore Sun. If I had my kazoo, I'd play taps for the Baltimore Sun at this point. But I would say, you know, in all of this time and trying to figure things out here in regard to what we're going to do, where we're going to go, I'm like, let's go to Hollywood Casino. So we went to Hollywood Casino. I gave a bunch of Purple Reigns away. I gave a whole bunch of O-Snaps away. The first question on everybody's mind Saturday night while I'm watching this frigid game that I'm thinking, well, at least I'm in Perryville. At least the steak's good. The food's good. The wine's good. I won some money at blackjack, so I had that going for me. But, for me, I guess with all of this stuff on Saturday night and getting out and being a part of this, Mark Andrews. Is Mark Andrews playing? So, Luke, I guess you'll hear all week. Is John going to be coy all week? I mean, he's out there practicing. I told everybody sure he's going to play. I mean, I believe he's going to play.
I'm not sure he's going to play this week, but I think the fact that he was on the practice field at the end of the bye week, albeit very limited. I mean, he went through individual. He was moving okay, but when he really tried to go at full speed, you could see the ankle is still an issue. I mean, this was kind of a 3 month injury, and it's been about 2 months. So you do the math there. But obviously, understanding it's a very short timeline here in terms of trying to play. I'm not saying that he's not going to play this week, like definitively, but if you're going to ask me right now at the start of the week, and look, I mean, be following us on Twitter and at BaltimorePositive.com. I'll have the injury reports. You'll see the practice participation level. I've wondered if the AFC Championship is the realistic target. Whatever's realistic for Mark Andrews at this stage of his health with his ankle. I mean, the reality is they played some of their best offense of the year without him. And I'm not at all implying that means Isaiah Likely is better than Mark Andrews or a better fit or anything like that. It just means that the entire offensive operation has improved since November, the last time he played. So, I certainly don't think Mark Andrews approaches this week in terms of he's definitely not playing against Houston. I don't think the Ravens are ruling anything out, but if you look at the fact that, I mean, he had surgery. You know, he went to North Carolina to see Dr. Robert Anderson, who's a, renowned foot specialist, and he had surgery on this ankle/fibula injury that he had. And he's not 100%, but he is at a point where he's back on the field and he's ramping up, and we'll see how much,
it's as got I always excited. The picture of him on
sure,
the field that you're
be.
Tweeting out is like, hey, not knowing he's trying to play, he's going to play in your mind. And, again, every single person that came up to me at Hollywood Casino wanted to talk about Mark Andrews. That was, when you get out in the community, you talk to people, you find that out. Yep. More so than on the internet, for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Look, I'm not at all suggesting he's not going to play. I just question whether it's going to be this week or whether the AFC Championship is the more realistic target.
Or maybe even the Super Bowl, the way Rob Woodson did 30 years
sure,
old, right?
Sure, sure, sure. And look, I mean, from the moment that he was hurt, after that initial fear that he was done for the year and wasn't going to be able to come back, you know, they did walk that back a little bit. John Harbaugh acknowledged a few days later, and when Andrews had the surgery, that, hey, if we can make a deep enough run in the playoffs, yeah, he's got a chance to be able to get back. So a lot of it's going to be how the ankle responds this week. There's no question about that. I mean, like I said, you can tell, you know, beyond the fact that it was heavily taped, you can tell that he's not 100%, but this isn't going to be a 100% proposition. I mean, this would not be a Mark Andrews, presumably. I mean, I'm making this assumption right now, but this would not be a case of Mark Andrews is going to come back and he's playing 60 snaps. I think this is a case of Mark Andrews comes back and he's available for some third downs. He's available in the red zone, right? So, and the way Isaiah Likely has played, yeah, they've been, yeah, like I said, they've haven't skipped a beat. And it's really a compliment to the entire offense and Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken and, yes, Isaiah Likely. So, you know, we'll see how it goes this week. But I thought, at the very least, the Ravens put him back out there last Friday with the idea that it gives Houston or whoever they were going to play in the divisional round more of an idea that, hey, we've got to be prepared for Mark Andrews here. We have to be ready for Mark Andrews. So we'll see how it plays out this week. But yeah, the fact that he's on the field already, he's going to give it a go at some point, you know, whether it's going to be this week or next week, or to your point, they are making it to Vegas and the Super Bowl. But you know, I think when you look at the timeline here, again, we'll see for Saturday. But I think this certainly bodes well for his availability for the AFC Championship at the very least. And you know, we're just going to have to see how that ankle responds. I mean, that was a very serious injury, and we're talking about 2 months since he hurt it against the Bengals. So, you know, again, what's the pain tolerance level? Where's the swelling with the ankle? How's he respond to some on-field practice work? You know, we'll see how that all goes. But it was a great sign seeing him out there. And I'll throw this out there. Good to see him out there, because I do have some concern, not that he won't play, but Zay Flowers has been dealing with a calf issue now for about 3 weeks. You know, he sat out week 18, which no brainer. Of course you sit out, you know, when they had everything locked up already at that point. Didn't practice at all during the bye week. And, you know, I think, let me be clear again, I expect him to play. But is he 100%? Is this calf issue something that you got to watch out for? So with that in mind, yeah, you love the optimism of having Mark Andrews back on the field, just knowing that it's another highly trusted weapon for Lamar Jackson. He trusts Mark Andrews more than anyone, right? I mean, that's been evident for 5 years now. So good to see him back on the practice field. We'll see about, you know, Zay Flowers' practice participation this week. You know, Marlon Humphrey had the calf issue that he sustained against the Dolphins. So, you know, we'll be watching him. Adafe Owe dealing with an ankle that he hurt against the Steelers early in that week 18 game. So, yeah, they've got some guys banged up. But the initial indication from John Harbaugh, for whatever it's worth, which isn't much, is optimism about those guys being ready to go against the Texans on Saturday. But again, we'll see over the course of the week, be checking the injury report. And as you alluded to, the WNST tech service will have the final injury report. And of course, game day inactive sent out 90 minutes prior to kickoff on Saturday afternoon.
Luke Jones is here. You can find him out at Baltimore Luke. You can find him in Owings Mills, as he said. Okay, so if you're standing in Hollywood Casino, people come up to you and they love to come up to you and they say, what are you worried about, Luke? What's got you worried about this Texans team coming in? What's keeping Harbaugh awake this week, other than just the fact that they've effed this up before? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have. And Lamar has been a part of that, and Marlon Humphrey, and Justin Tucker. I mean, go through the guys that were on the team, 4 years ago, and Ronnie Stanley. We go through all those guys. There are other guys new to the party. There are guys, like you mentioned, Zay Flowers, just trying to get on the field, play in their first playoff game. Thoughts about what worries you? Has Roquan Smith ever played in a playoff game? I'm trying to think about this. Maybe not. I don't
last
know.
Year.
I
mean, last
oh,
year.
Oh, last year. Right. Okay. I'm just thinking like the Bears when you play on bad
I think
games,
he played in one with the Bears.
I think
he played in one. Yeah. So, no, but I mean, look, is there anything that worries me using the word worry? No, not really. But that said, it's football. The Texans are a good team. You know, are they great? No, I don't. I think they're another year away from being in that conversation, as I said to you in a previous conversation. But you've got to go out and play, and you've got to go out and play your best football. And if you don't, then this could be a different game. This could be a very uncomfortable game because this is a really talented football team, and they've got a lot of good young players, starting with their quarterback. So, from that standpoint, I want to see them start fast. Getting into the whole rest versus rust, all of that. Just come out sharp, right? Come out ready to play. I think the way that they approached the bye week was a positive. Not, and it's so easy to just draw these comparisons. And look, I'll still push back on the notion that the reason why they lost to the Titans was that they were just rusty. I mean, they came out and they didn't play well. Were they overconfident? Whatever it might have been, they didn't play well. They made mistakes in every phase of the game. And when the MVP of the league doesn't play well and your defense gets run over by Derrick Henry, then yeah, you throw some turnovers in there, you're going to lose. So we all know how that played out. So beyond those types of concerns, concern being a relative term, I don't have a lot these major worries because I think the Ravens are a much better football team than the Houston Texans, but they've got to go out and prove it. I think what makes me feel better about this matchup, knowing that the Ravens, a relative weakness has been their run defense. I mean, this is a Texans team that hasn't run the football particularly well all season. They popped a couple runs against Cleveland on Saturday, but it's mainly what? CJ Stroud throwing the ball to Nico Collins and throwing the ball to his tight end, throwing the ball to some of his complementary receivers. The Ravens, the strength of their defense has been their pass defense, whether we're talking about coverage on the back end or bringing down quarterbacks, leading the league in sacks. So I think from that standpoint, I feel better than, talking about the potential AFC Championship matchup where you have the Chiefs who can run the football. You have the Bills who can run the football, including with their quarterbacks. So from that standpoint, I don't think this matchup, I think this matchup is a good matchup for the Ravens, understanding that the Ravens are the better team, against anyone that they're playing at this point in time on paper. Again, the longer layoff, the fact that Houston is in and has been in playoff win now, must win kind of mode for the last few weeks. I think that's where you take some pause. I don't think worry is the right term, but you take some pause and say, that's why I've said it's so critical for this team to start fast. I think if you start fast, you remind the Texans very quickly that, oh, yeah, we're playing the best team in the NFL and we're a good story, but winning the AFC South is not the same thing as having the best record in the NFL. So, beyond that, again, it's a Texans team that has talented players, but, they've dealt with injuries on the offensive line. I will give them credit. They protected CJ Stroud very well against that Browns front. And really it begins with Laremy Tunsil and his health and his availability. He got banged up at the end of that game. So, we'll kind of see what that looks like over the course of the week, but it's a Texans team right now that's confident. It's a young, confident football team. And again, I'm going to be a broken record all week about this need to start fast. I mean, I said the same thing. You can go back and find it 4 years ago. That was my theme throughout the week. Start fast against the Texans or against the Titans. Sorry. Don't let them get into the running game with Derrick Henry. You do that, Ryan Tannehill will make some mistakes and will throw you the football. And
I thought the worst thing that happened in that game is I remember, and again, my wife wound up in the hospital in the middle of the night that night. We think it was COVID. We had been in Asia. Like, I haven't gone back and watched every minute of it, but all I remember about the beginning of that game is when they were going on those freaky deaky fourth and shorts that they were killing everybody on, they're not doing that. I mean, I feel like that game kind of got pissed away on a strategy sense of those fourth downs that they were just steamrolling everybody. That's possession. I mean, when you don't make a fourth down, it's a fumble, basically, right? I mean, so that acted as a turnover, even though we didn't call it that. And look, we're examining a game. It's 4 years ago, but it's all crystal clear as to how this happens. Go ask the Cowboys. Yeah. You watched them the other night, right? Like, it happens fast. When the ball goes over your head and you look up and it's 8 minutes into the first quarter and you're losing 10 to nothing, you're like, the hell happened? The fans are cold and the sun's setting. And you're supposed to win. And everybody's talking about how you're supposed to win. Now, the one thing they won't be doing is putting the camera on Bisciotti because Lord knows if he's even here. But on Jerry, that's part of the Dallas thing that plays into all of that, is you start to circle the drain a little bit, and you better make sure that's not you. One of these teams will circle the drain. One of these home teams, bad things are going to happen this weekend. You got to make sure it's not you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-game season from here on out. No one cares. At this point in time, no one cares that you have the best record in the NFL.
The Texans don't care.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they don't care. Now, they care in the sense that they have to deal with Lamar Jackson and how well he's played, but they won't care in the midst of the game. It doesn't matter if Lamar's going to be MVP of the league. It doesn't matter that the Ravens are 13-4. It doesn't matter that they won the division. It doesn't matter that they're the number one seed. In the context of those 60 minutes of football, you've got to go out and win on a play-by-play basis. And if you do that, and you do that early on, I'm guessing you won't have too many problems. And I'm guessing, maybe not saying it's a full-on blowout, but I'm guessing you win in fairly comfortable fashion. But if you start slow, now the good news is you just laid out that possibility. You threw it out there, 10-0, 7 minutes into the game. The good news is I think this offense is much better constructed now compared to 4 years ago to deal with that kind of a scenario, because we've seen it. We've seen them throw the football, and we've seen it despite the fact that they have the number one rushing attack in the NFL in terms of yards per game. We know that between the tackles, their schemed up running game hasn't been as dominant as it was 4 years ago with the Greg Roman led, offensive attack where they were running the ball and, being in a phone booth with 12 and 13 personnel and all that. They haven't been that kind of a style of offense, and, they've had their moments, and certainly Lamar scrambling and leading the way, running the football as he still does, even if it's not as frequent as it used to be, it's still frequent. But this is a team that can play from behind. In fact, I even saw it. It was one of the success rates, one of the EPA expected points added per play measures. I forget which one it was, so I don't want to cite it incorrectly, but it talked about the fact that the Ravens actually had, I believe it said they had the best EPA for teams when they were trailing this year. Now, the Ravens didn't trail a whole lot, so that's not a huge sample, but it speaks to the fact that even those times where they did fall behind this year, they didn't panic. I mean, they didn't. So that's a good sign. These are all good signs. And the biggest difference now compared to 4 years ago is, you have a 27-year-old Lamar Jackson as opposed to 22, right? 22 turning 23. And the same applies for all their other players. I mean, these guys are more experienced. They've dealt with disappointment. They lost in 19. They lost against Buffalo in 20. Lamar Jackson wasn't out there last year, but they lost in Cincinnati. So they've dealt with a lot of losing in the playoffs. And what do you say? What do you always hear coaches and players say? That you either win or you learn. Well, they've learned a lot in the playoffs over the last few years because they've had these disappointments. So, from that standpoint, that's where I am much more heartened, much more confident in this football team. And I don't want to be disingenuous. I was very confident about the 2019 team. They were outstanding in the regular season. And that's where this is a reminder that you take some pause because, this team has a similar feel in terms of perception that they had 4 years ago, even if stylistically it's different. But
maybe even more so because they played so well in December.
Yeah, but they played, they won 12 games in a row to conclude 2019. I mean, again, and I'm not saying you, but, I've heard some
San Francisco and Miami at the end, and even Detroit now, the way they steamrolled Detroit, now that Detroit's a Final Eight team.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they beat the Rams that year, and it
beat the 49ers into that year, too. I mean, I hear you. If your argument is they played a more difficult schedule this year, yeah, I'll agree with that. That's fine. My point is, I've seen, and not you, I'm saying this in general, when I've seen people, and fans are doing this because they're trying to reassure themselves. I've seen people try to be dismissive of that team 4 years ago. That team was a great football team. And as much as I know you talked to Aaron Schatz recently, talking about DVOA and the all-time historic teams from that analytics measure, this team is right up there in the top four or five of all time. But that team was pretty high on the list too. So the point is, everything you've done to this point, 13-4, leading the league in point differential, leading the league in takeaways, leading the league in sacks, Lamar Jackson going to be MVP, leading the league in rushing. I mean, go down the list of all the accolades, all the guys that have been named All-Pro and Pro Bowl and all those different things. None of that matters when you kick the ball off at 4:30 on Saturday. You have to go out there and play better than the Texans for 3 hours. Doesn't have to be perfect, but start fast, play well. Don't give a young team any semblance of hope that they have a real serious chance of winning the football game. You know, if you go out and do that, then the Ravens should win this one in relatively comfortable fashion. But if they start slow, then the Texans are already feeling good after what they did against Cleveland. I mean, they blew out the Browns. They made the Browns look awful. But if you give them a chance to start fast and get an early lead on the road, to your point, with all the cold, you know, some of the crowd noise is going to be muffled as it is. But if you start, the road team starts fast, crowd gets a little nervous, you know, a little unsettled, probably not booing. I'm not saying that, but there's a nervous energy in the stadium. Then, boy, we're talking about a different kind of game over the course of 3 hours. So, again, it's a Texans team that, you know, they've got some young players who don't know any better at this point, that they're not ready for this stage. You know, they don't know that they're not supposed to be ready for this stage. So you need to go out and, you know, this just came to mind. The Ravens need to put them in their place, you know, for lack of a better term, put them in their place. You know, they're a 10-7 team that won a lousy division. Yeah, whereas the Ravens are the best team in football and had the best record in the league against a really challenging schedule and playing in what a lot of people regarded as the best division in the NFL this year. So, you know, go out and establish your dominance, right? Go out and play great football right off the bat. And if they do that, then I'm guessing the second half will be much more of a celebration, thinking about that AFC championship game being played in Baltimore for the first time in over 50 years.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He's going to be out in Owings Mills. We're going to be talking football here all week long. We got great guests. We had football all last week. We had 3 Hall of Fame voters, former Ravens, celebrities, people checking in. The most important thing we're doing here this month actually happens next month. Starts February 5th. We used to do Radio Row by going to the Super Bowl. This year, we're going to offer you a cup of Super Bowl with our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. We're taking this thing out on the road beginning on the 5th of February. I'm wearing my Coco's Established 1985 shirt with my little parrot on it. We're going to be there on the Wednesday, the 7th of February, beginning the 5th of February at Lexington Market at Fahley's. We're going to be live 8 hours a day, 9 to 5. I'm going to be giving more information next week. We're going to be doing this for the Maryland Food Bank. We're going to ask you, yeah, you, all of you, even your mom and your sister and your brother-in-law and your brother, your cats. We're going to have all of them contributing to make the city better. So that's going to be a February 5th. We are calling it a cup of Super Bowl week, and we'll be telling you more about it. So Monday at Fadley's, Tuesday we're going to be at Costas. Wednesday we're going to be at Coco's. Thursday we're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville. And on Friday we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. It'll all be brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the fresh scratch-offs. I was giving these out at Hollywood Casino. The women are like, they smell like gingerbread. They still smell like gingerbread. So even though the holidays are over with, we've gotten through Martin Luther King Day, and we've got a Festivus Day coming up, the gingerbread is still on with the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some freshies, though, and some peppermint payouts as well. We had some winners up at Hollywood Casino. So thanks, everybody, that came out. I gave some books out. I won some money in blackjack. Joe Flacco didn't do as well as I did, but, you know, it was a thing, and we're looking forward to getting up on potentially – fingers crossed, a Super Bowl engagement on February 11th here in Baltimore. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We're at it all week long. Lots of football around here. We're going to tamp down a little bit of the music and the community and the politics, all that. We're doing charity in the month of February. At the heart of all of this, we'll be telling you all about our programming and our live programming the week of a cup of Super Bowl week. I got to get used to saying that. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're back for more football, and more purple football. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.